All right, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Metaverse Bible Study Podcast. This is Bishop D.D. Lattimore, and let's get right into the introduction. Welcome to the Metaverse Bible Study Podcast, where we dive into the timeless wisdoms of the Bible and Stoic philosophy. I'm your host, Bishop D.D. Lattimore, and I'm honored to be your guide on this spiritual journey. Each episode will explore the rich tapestry of lessons and meditations and reflections that have shaped many cultures and inspired many hearts throughout the centuries. Whether you're a pastor or a devout believer, or simply curious about profound teachings of the Bible, you found a home here. So if you need a friend, find a quiet moment, open up your heart, and join me as we uncover the profound insights and eternal truths woven in these ancient texts. This podcast is brought to you by BizExchange.network. Remember, your network determines your net worth. I joined BizExchange.network because I needed to increase my bottom line. This social media platform will surround you with people who can help you do just that. For a discount, use the promo code Metaverse. And finally, subscribe to the Metaverse Bible Study Podcast on YouTube. Everyone that becomes a subscriber shares God's light into the dying world right along with us. So let this light so shine upon men on YouTube and subscribe today. Thank you. All right, we're going to get right into the quote today from Epictetus, and it reads January 1, control and choice. Epictetus said in Discourses 2, 5, 4 through 5, the chief task in life is simply this: to identify and separate matters so that I can say clearly to myself which are externals not under my control, and which have to do with the choices I actually control. Where then do I look for good and evil? Not to uncontrollable externals, but within myself to the choices that are my own. Okay? To the choices that are my own. All right? We have gotten to a place where, I know it's not January 1, it is January 3rd. And I would like to say, I'm coming on screen now. I would like to say happy birthday to my daughter, Shayana. Her birthday is today, and I'm so happy and I'm so glad that she has turned, her age. But I wanted to give everybody, before I started the podcast again, I wanted to give everybody some time. I wanted to give everybody some rest, time to enjoy the new year coming in without me speaking in your ear and all that different kind of stuff. But while we're there, okay. In a place where we're crossing over into the 2024 season. 2023 is gone, 2024 is come. And while we're in this place, we have to remain focused and, on top of that, get some clarity, right? And that's what January on the Daily Stoic. I have it here. If you do not have the Daily Stoic, please get the Daily Stoic. The Daily Stoic is a book that helps me get clarity. And this is something that I want to give not only my church power and praise, but also to everybody on the podcast. And it helps me get clarity if I've lost focus, if I've fallen off the horse, for me to actually get some clarity about, you know, what I want to do this year, what I want to accomplish, what are the external controls, what are the internal controls, what controls I have, are con what things are controllable and things are not. And that is the serenity prayer in a nutshell. God, help me to recognize the things that I can change and not to worry about the things that I can't change, and give me the wisdom to know the difference between the two, right? So when you're talking about that, and when you're talking about January, and when you're talking about clarity, then you start in the Daily Stoic, day number one, you talk about control and choice. Control and choice. And that is what Epictetus is talking about. He's talking about control and he's talking about choice. I want you to get this book. Follow me. I'll be doing this book every day. Okay. Every day of the year. Get this book and follow with me. All right. On the days. If not, just listen to the podcast. All right. So control and choice. Epictetus said, the chief task in life is simply this, to identify and separate matters so that I can clearly say to myself, which are externals not under my control? Which are externals not under my control? There are things in your life that is not, you don't have control over. And a lot of the stress that comes in your life comes from the fact that you're trying to control something that you cannot control. You want to control the outcome. You want to control this. You want to control that. But you can't control it. Okay. So the outcome is something that you can't control. You got to leave it in God's hands. But what you can control is your response or your emotions when it comes to how you feel about what you feel, okay? And some people try to control them by bottling them up. That's a bad way to try to control certain things. You cannot control things by just trying to bottle them up. It don't work, okay? So what you have to do is emotions sometimes can be like a virus. You just gotta kind of let them work itself out, right? And along with that, then you have to have something, the clarity, all right? You need the clarity to be able to accept the things that you cannot control and to accept the things that you can control and to accept the outcome that comes when these things, you know, finally, when the chips lay where they may. And I think that's the hard thing. One of the hardest things for you to do is to try to do that. But it takes skill. It takes practice. It takes clarity. It takes focus. It takes mental energies. And when you get to the point where you feel like you can't seem to make it anymore, you got to dig deep. That's what having a good spiritual life is about. You got to dig deep, right? Find God in your situation and give it over to Him. I don't think everybody knows how effective it is for you to just categorize and identify things you can control and things you can't control. It would seem like it would be kind of common sense, but not everybody has that. Common sense ain't common. Not everybody has that. And not everybody is aware of that, of how to attack their life or to attack a situation or to filter a situation in a place where they are in, like, can categorize what isn't in their control. Okay. So, but Epictetus says that the chief task in life is simply this. It's work. It's going to be work. There's something about life that can be complicated, but if you reduce it to its lowest common denominator, if you have any kind of wisdom at all, it would be to allow yourself to focus enough on trying to categorize the things that are in your control versus the things that are not in your control. And that means the world. That will mean the world for your future decisions. I was reading one person's blog, and they said that, you know, it's 80-20 in life. When they go, the black swans, that might be 20%. The unknown unknowns, the things that you can't control, those, that is like the 20% of life. You understand what I'm saying? The 80% of your life is actually focusing on what you can control. And the only thing that you can control is you and your reactions to what's going on. And if you know how to drive that car, then you can get where you're trying to go, or where destiny, fate, the providence of God is taking you. You can get there more efficiently if you know how to drive, if you know how to sell. But if you don't know how to do these things, then you're going, you're flapping and you're going to and fro, and everything is hurting and everything is, you know, you're bleeding all over the place because you're trying to control things that you can't control. But if you just reduce in 2024, if you would just reduce your thinking to, can I control that? No. So put that over there. Can I control that? Yes. So put that over there. If you can just reduce yourself, your thinking to that bare minimum, then it's going to be the leverage that you need in order to move mountains. For sure. It's going to be the leverage that you need in order to be relevant. For sure. It is going to be the leverage that you need in order to get over and get through some of the hard things that you've had to get over and get through. 2023, you might not have done a good job, but 2024 might be your year to properly categorize things that you can control versus the things that you can't control. You gotta dig deep in your spiritual life sometimes in order to get this principle. And that's not the only thing Epictetus said. Epictetus said, and which the things and the things that I, the choices that I actually control. So the only thing that you really control are your choices. Those are the only things. Those are the only things that you really control are your choices. Your choices. Your choices. And let me tell you something. Everybody's, they have their own reasons as to why they choose certain things. But as a believer in God, your choices should be rooted in God's word. What did God's word say about such? What did God's word say about this? What did God's word say about that? If you allow your choices to be led by God's word, then that's when you know that you're walking in lockstep with his destiny for your life. You're walking in lockstep with his plan for your life. You are walking in lockstep with his desire for your life. That's how you know. That's how you know that you are actually doing this thing called life right, right? You're allowing the things that you cannot control to go ahead and do what they're going to do. You can categorize the things that you can control. You have basically allowed yourself to reduce the things that you think that you can control down to the lowest common denominator of your choices. And you allow your choices to be made by the word of God. And that is how you know you are doing life right. It says, where then do I look for good and evil? Where can I look for good and evil? Where would I find it? Where can I observe it? Like some kind of culture in a petri dish. Where can I get some wisdom about this thing called good and evil? And he said that it's not in the uncontrollable externals. The things that happen to you that seem catastrophic is not necessarily evil. Okay? And I know that's something that you have to wrap your mind around. I know that's something that you have to wrap your brain around, but that's something that you have to start practicing. Just because something happened that you don't like doesn't make it evil. Just because something happened that you don't like doesn't mean that you are being attacked by the devil. All right. What did Joseph say? Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good to save many people alive this day. Okay. So if you want to look at it as evil, then if you dwell on that, what you're dwelling on is, you know, what's happened and what it has done to you. And you feel like all of that was unnecessary. You went through unnecessary stresses. But if you want to take the power away from that perspective, then you could say you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Yes. Okay. Let me put this in a better example, right? There are some people out there that do mean you evil. There are some people out there that are trying to get their way over you and compete against you, all that different kind of stuff, all that, right? But that's not what Epictetus says is evil, okay? Because what he's looking at, whether something is good or evil or not, he's looking for good and evil in his own choices. That is what he defines as good and evil. Okay. So yes, they meant it for evil. Okay. But God, they are the externals. Good and evil are not the externals. Okay. Of men's plots. Okay. That's not what you should think about is evil. All right. What you should think about as evil is what's on the inside of you, okay? So the things that happen to you, like, let's see if I can put it in a better way. If it rains today, I don't want it to rain. Maybe I don't like when it rains. But if it rains today, I can't say that it's evil because it rained. It's something that I could not control. So why would I put an emotional attachment on something like that when there's clearly nothing wrong with the fact that it rained today? If you take that same mentality and attribute it to even people's evil intents, there's nothing that you could have done that controlled their actions. So if there's nothing that you could have done, don't necessarily classify them as evil. They might be evil. They might try to be doing evil, but don't classify them. Why? Because you don't want to give them attention. Because the more you give something attention, the more that thing grows and gets relevant and gets bigger and bigger, thrown out of proportions, mountains, molehills become mountains. And you don't want to start your day with the evil eye. Now, I know that's not the evil eye, but I'm going to use it in that context. You don't want to start your day with the evil eye. Don't start it like that. You don't want to start thinking about who don't like you and who this and who's trying to do that and what this and that. You don't want to do that, okay? You don't want to bring everybody and everything in as a suspect as to what is evil. No, you want to actually control. You want to actually control the energy that is coming out of you. And if you try to control other people, their actions, how they think, your job, whether they're going to fire you or not, but you cannot control none of that. You shouldn't stress that. You shouldn't try to control that. You shouldn't try to focus on that. Let that be that, okay? Don't classify that. Don't categorize that. That's uncontrollable. That is the wisdom behind what Epictetus is trying to. He wants you to focus on the things that you can control, not the things that you cannot control. Okay. So when you think about that, he says, I'm not looking for good and evil in my uncontrollable externals, but within myself, to the choices that are my own. That means that the only thing that he's classifying good and evil is his own choices. Now, that's where you get to where the Bible says, you know, that you can't cast out, you know, the mole in somebody else's eye and you got a beam in your own. Okay. You want to focus internally on your own choices, on your own goods and your own evils, your own good energy and your own, you know, base nature, your baser nature. Okay. You want to limit and confine your base nature, your brute beast, your animalistic, your I don't care, your raunchy, ratchet self. You want to control that, confine that, lock that up in a box, throw away the key, and keep an eye on it, okay? When it comes to your goods, though, you want your goods to come out. Okay. Your positivity. The Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long suffering and gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are the fruit of the Spirit. These are the goods of the Spirit. And they are the energy in which you make your decisions. They are the energy that carry your choices. Okay. So, When you think about your choices and you think about good and evil and you think about all that different kind of stuff, we're coming into the new year. We're coming into clarity. We're talking about categorization. We're talking about uncontrollables. We're talking about controllables. And when we bottle this all up, it boils down to having perspective, staying engaged. Okay. Staying engaged. Somebody touch your neighbor on the left and on the right and say, stay engaged. Stay engaged. Stay engaged. Stay engaged with who you are on the inside. Stay engaged with what's happening with you on the inside. Stay engaged with your emotions. Having some kind of emotional intelligence about yourself. Stay engaged. Okay? So, this is what the commentary says. Now that we talked about all that, here's what the commentary says. It says, the single most important practice in Stoic philosophy is differentiating between what we can change and what we can't. Focusing on what we can change and what we can't. What we have influence over and what we do not. A flight is delayed because of weather. No matter the amount of yelling at the airline representative will end a storm. And no amount of wishing will make you taller or shorter than what you were born with or what country you were born in. No matter how hard you try, you can't make someone like you. And on top of that, time spent hurling yourself at these immovable objects is time not spent on the things that we can change. So there is a correlation between this kind of categorization and time. There is a correlation between people who think like this versus people who don't think like this, because the people who think like this, who try to control the things that they can control and the things that they can't control, give them to God. They save a lot of time and they save a lot of stress. They save themselves from going through the mental rigmarole, and they allow themselves to give things over to God and just focus on what they can change, what they can do. Okay. So if you are a manager, if you are a CEO, if you are a somebody of influence, affluence, if you are a leader of a church, if you are a leader in some field, maybe if it's just a family, or if you're just a father, you're just a mother, and that is your vocation. If you're somebody who does not like to waste time, then stop worrying about the things that you cannot control. Okay, save the time, save the effort, save the mental energies for things that is going to need all of your focus in order to get certain things done. Okay, so it says the recovery community practices something called the serenity prayer. Okay, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change and the courage to change the things that I can. And the wisdom to know the difference. Addicts cannot change the abuse suffered in childhood. They cannot undo the choices that they've made or the hurt they have caused. But they can change the future through the power they have in the present moment. As Epictetus said, they can control the choices they make right now. The only thing that you can do, especially for people who have made a lot of mistakes in their past, okay? If you have made a lot of mistakes in your past, even 2023, if you made a lot of mistakes in 2023, you cannot focus on that. The only thing you can do is learn from that and move forward. And you cannot allow the demons of your skeletal closet to stop you from making good choices now, becoming good now. Like we were talking about with the Damocles sword. If there was a sword that was above your head that could drop at any moment, and that sword is death, you don't know when it's going to drop. All you know is from second to second, you can do something good now. What is it? What is it that you can do good now? If you're listening to me, put it down in the comment section. Write it down in the comment section. If you haven't subscribed yet, subscribe. Subscribe to YouTube. Subscribe to the Metaverse Bible Study on YouTube, okay? But write it down in the comment section. What can you do good now? Now, we talk about New Year's resolutions. We talk about New Year's resolutions in a way of, I'm going to do this next year. I'm going to focus on that next year. And then once you get to February, once you get to March, you done failed in your New Year's resolution. You know why? Because you're not trying to make it a lifestyle and you're not doing it habitually. What you're doing is that it's just something that you want to do, but you're not focused on it because maybe you are giving too much time to things that are uncontrollable here. And you can't focus on the things that you want to implement because all your hardware, your hard drive is your RAM. You have no storage, you have no power because you're too focused on this and you're too focused on that. Let me tell you something. If you focus on the things that you want to implement, whether it's your New Year's resolutions, and make it a lifestyle change instead of just something that you're just, you know, throwing mud at the wall to see if it sticks, then over time it will become you. Okay. Everybody that knows me knows that I like to work out. Okay. I started working out, and over 10 years, I do like maybe 6 days a week working out. My day is not a day unless I've worked out in some form or capacity. Working out has become me. Now, I've been a vegetarian for 2 years, okay? But I'm going into my third year as my first year as a vegan, okay? That eventually will become me. I do not, at the present moment, I do not eat dairy. That's going to become me at some point. Everybody who ever knows me is going to see me as a vegetarian at some point, or a vegan at some point. So when I get grandkids and when certain things, when they're going to always know me as somebody that works out all the time and somebody that is a vegetarian and somebody that's a pastor or a preacher or a bishop. These are things that define me. Okay. So, and I bake them into my character and I bake them into my personality. Okay. So you don't get me without that. Okay. So the resolutions are not about something that you actually want to do from time to time and try to, no, the resolution is something that you want to try to make permanent. And this year, this is how you know you've made it a revolution. This is how you know that it has become a revolution, because when the new year comes in, you're not trying to make that same thing a resolution. It seems like the people that are making New Year's resolutions, they're making the same thing, the resolution every year. I want to lose weight. I want to eat right. I want to this, that, and the other. And it never takes, and it never takes, and it never takes, because you're not serious. And possibly it's because you are focusing too much on uncontrollable things. It's taking mental capacity from you, and you need all of your mental capacity to try to implement some new form of habit. It takes a lot of energy to implement a new habit. It takes a lot of energy to focus on your triggers so that you do not you have to focus on the things that trigger your bad habits. That takes a lot of mental energy. And if I'm trying to focus on the wrong things and not focus on the right things, then my resolution is going to be a failed plan. Okay. And I'm going to be trying to be resolute about it again the next year, the next year, and the next year, and the next year. Okay, that's not something that you want. That is not something that you don't have time. That's like being in the wilderness, okay? Traveling in the wilderness for 40 years and not getting anywhere. And that's exactly what happens when you try to, when you focus on things that you cannot control, okay? So you need all of that mental capacity. It says that Epictetus said that they control the choices they make right now. So I'm going to get back to my point. The good, the Damocles sword, doing good now. If you do it every day. I was telling somebody not too long ago that they're trying to work out, or they're making a New Year's resolution about working out. And they're talking about, I did one push-up today. It was my friend Ashton. Talking about something, he did one push-up today, all right? If he did one push-up every day, that's what the good is. That's what focusing on the good. If you had a sword right here, death was going to come. What good could you do now, okay? And you would do it every day. That's how it becomes a habit. That's how it sticks. If you don't do it every day, it's not going to stick. Like when it came to me working out and me trying to build my workout habit, I noticed if I tried to do 3 days a week, go hard 3 days a week, it never stuck. I had to do it every day in order for it to stick, right? And in order for things to stick, you have to perpetually impress that into your brain every day. So your resolutions are something that you shouldn't be trying to have a resolution about the same thing every year if you're doing it every day. You understand what I'm saying? So control the choices that you can make right now. Right now. Now is the time. That's what the Bible says. Now is the time. Today, if you would hear my voice, today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. You know, you say the thought comes to you, I should eat healthy today. And you know what you do? You harden your heart. When you say, I should work out today, and you don't end up doing it today, you know what you end up doing? Hardening your heart. When you actively choose something that is not what you are trying to be, have as a resolution, and you actively choose the opposite, that is what it feels like for your heart to be hardened. And some of you guys got some hard hearts. You say, no, I'm not going to do it today, or God knows my... Yes, he knows your heart. He knows that it's desperately wicked. He knows that your heart is not trying to do good, right? But if you're trying to do good, if you're trying to become a better person, if you're not trying to focus on the things of the past and you're moving into the future and you're moving into your right now, into your today, what are the things that you can do today to release that good, right? Because watch that. Good and evil are what? Epictetus said they're inside. They are inside of you. They should not be attributed to any externals. They should be attributed to your internals, and they're inside of you. So the good is actually doing what you're trying to implement, you know, as far as your good habits or whatever the case may be, the better person that you're trying to become, all that different kind of stuff, the clarity that you need. But the evil is the hardening of your heart to the good. Hardening of your heart to the things that you know you should do, right? And that is really, really good stuff. If I have bumbled over this whole podcast and I have not made sense to anybody, that point right there was worth it. The good is internal. The evil is internal. And the good that is internal is the habits that you're trying to implement, the good that you're trying to be. But you hardening, the hardening of those good actions. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The hardening of that love, the hardening of that joy, the hardening of that peace, the hardening of that long-suffering, all the way down the fruits of the Spirit. The hardening, when you actively feel yourself hardening, getting cold, that is what you should be attributing as evil. For sure. Okay. So it says, the same is true for us today. If we focus on making clear what parts of our day are within our control and what parts are not, we will not only be happier, but we will have a distinct advantage over other people who fail to realize they are fighting an unwinnable battle. The question that I want to ask you today is, are you fighting an unwinnable battle? Are you fighting a battle that you cannot win? Are you fighting a losing battle? Do not spend your energies fighting a losing battle. What is the losing battle? Fighting things that you cannot control. You cannot control it. So why are you fighting something that's going to happen anyway? This is how you get clarity in 2024. Categorizing. Categorize it, whatever it is. Ask yourself, can you control it? And if you can't control it, put it in the uncontrollable category and use all of your mental energies to focus on the things that you can control. On top of that, what we have is the scriptures talking about these things. Okay? We're talking about having a new year, a new season, a new day. And we're going to get into a couple of scriptures that talk about this. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I like the King James Version. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Okay. So I want you to focus that on the new year. Focus that you have become new. Isaiah 43:18-19 says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I want to talk to somebody today and let you know that God is doing a new thing in you. I want you to know that God is creating a new creature in you. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And he's putting a way in the wilderness and rivers in deserts. He said, how do you not perceive these things? How do you not know these things? Do you not feel the tectonic plates of your life shifting? Things are shifting under you. Things are shifting around you. Things are shifting over you. And all of it is out of your control. But the one thing that you can control or can trust in is God. He is your anchor for all of your anxieties. He is your anchor for all of your ailments. He is what is going to get you through, okay? So you have to remember, he said, remember not the former things, okay? So this is not what you should remember. This is we should be focused on the things not to remember. All right. So keep 2023 and 2023 and move forward into 2024. Nor consider the things of old. Okay. So let the past stay in the past. Let those skeletons be locked in that closet and enjoy the room that you're in today, because God is doing a new thing. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans of peace, welfare, and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end or to give you a future and a hope. Remember that when God said this to Jeremiah, the children of Israel were going into Babylon. They were going into slavery. This is something that seems to be a contrast in the situation, that they're going into slavery, but God said, don't worry, I know the plans that I have for you, plans of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. But they're going into slavery, okay? So not every word that God gives you is a word for the present moment. It could be a word for the future moment that's coming, okay? So, and sometimes you have to get out of your, they couldn't control the fact that they were going into slavery. All right. But what they could do is take in this word as consolation to help them with their mentality, to help them with their thought, to help them with their thinking, to help them control their emotions. God said that he's going to work. I know I'm in slavery right now. I know that there's some things that's happening in my body right now. I know that there's financial issues that I have right now, but God is giving me a word of hope that he knows what he's doing. I have one question for you today. Do you believe that God knows what he's doing? If you believe that he knows what he's doing, write it in the comment section below. If you believe that he knows what he's doing, then I want you to reflect that and give him the trust that it takes in order to create a bond and a relationship. And the more you begin to trust God, the more and more he becomes relevant in your life. Okay. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. In 2024, are you trusting in the Lord with all your heart? Because in trusting in God is how you're going to achieve your goals the goals that he has set for you in 2024. Okay, so lean not to your own understanding. Okay, oftentimes when you are leaning into your own understanding, that's when you start stressing. That's when you start getting anxious. That's when you start getting depressed, because you're heavy is the head that wears the crown. The crown that you are wearing, the responsibilities that you are wearing, the accountability that you are wearing, the things that you are wearing is heavy on your head. But the only way to get through that is to trust in God and acknowledge him. Are you acknowledging? Did you acknowledge God in 2023? Okay. If you did, allow that to follow you to 2024. But if you know that you did not acknowledge God in your decision-making in 2023, how about you try it in 2024? Ephesians 4:22-24 says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt. Okay? Put off your old self, and it is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Oh my God, I could talk about that all day. I could talk about all day, but I don't have the time. But it's self-explanatory. Take off that old self. Take off that old you. Get into the new you of what God is trying to do in you. This is how you know that you're in your old self. Your heart is still hardened about the sin that you are committing. Okay? You got a, I don't care about your sin. You got a, I don't care about your situation. You got a, I don't care. And your heart is hardened. That is evil manifested in your heart today. today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. It's one of my favorite scriptures because that's how you put off your old man. You allow yourself not to be hardened to the good that God is calling you to the righteousness that God is calling you to. And if you put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, some of you are in your old manner of life and wondering why you ain't changing. You still clubbing and you wonder why you ain't changing. You still smoking and you wonder why you ain't changing. You still drinking and you wonder why you ain't changing. You chew and run around and screw and run around with those who do, and you still wonder why you ain't changing. You gotta change your atmosphere. You gotta change your friends. You gotta change your source of information. You gotta change your resources. You gotta change yourself. And that means getting away from people that mean you no good. All right? Because if you told them to come to church, they wouldn't come to church, right? But if they said, come over so that so you can be my sneaky link for the night. Oh, you over there, all right? So if you can't bring them to church, you know they ain't changing because they don't want to change. So that's a sign that you gotta cut people off. They're not willing to change. You're trying to change. Church is where change happens. Okay, you're trying to bring the person with you that you want to change, but they don't want to come. That's a sure sign. You gotta let them go. They don't want to come to church. You gotta let them go. They are still in the former life, in the former manner of living, and it is corrupt, all right, through the deceitful desires. Now, your desires are deceitful. You are deceived by these things that come up out of your flesh, okay? So what we're trying to do is control the things that we can, and don't worry about the things that we cannot control, and the things that we can control this flesh, okay? You need the Holy Ghost to do it. But when God gives you His Holy Spirit, one of the signs that you got it is controlling your flesh, okay? Because you need power to control that flesh. Revelations 21:5 says, and he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also, he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said, behold, I'm making all things new. Is God making you new today? Is he making you new today? Is he making you new today? Is he making your thinking new? Is he making your situations new? Is he making your insides new, your desires new? You know, when I first started eating vegetarian, I couldn't do the raw food because it didn't have no taste. But the more I started eating and the more I started eating, I realized that I didn't need all that salt and preservatives and MSG and all that stuff that makes food taste good. I don't need that because my taste has changed, because my habits has changed, and who I am has changed. And if it's like that, when it comes to your diet, first natural, then spiritual, when you change, then your taste change, your desire change, who you want to be around changes, and you don't want to go back to the former things, and you can rest in God because God says, I'm making all things new. How do you know you're being made new? You're starting to change. And they're saying, you're changing. I don't like this new you. Of course I'm changing. It's time for me to mature. It's time for me to get bigger. It's time for me to grow. It's time for me to get out of here. It's time for me to manifest. It's time for me to change. It's a sad thing when somebody 40 can't change. It's a sad thing when somebody 50 can't change. It's a sad thing when somebody 60 has crystallized and they still going to the club and they're still sleeping around and they're still smoking and drinking. That's a shame that you have been spent, you spent all of these years on this earth and have not changed. But this is how you know that you have changed, because God has made some things new in your life. And embrace the new. I want you to embrace the new. Embrace the new you. Embrace the things that God has for you. Embrace it. Embrace it. And don't worry about when people try to control you by saying that you have changed. Okay? Embrace that change. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Isaiah 40 and 31 says, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings of an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And that is how you have come. You should have come into 2024. Waiting on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. If you wait on the Lord, he will renew you. If you wait on the Lord, he shall renew your strength. You shall mount up as wings of an eagle. You shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. So wait on him. Wait, I say, on the Lord. This has been the podcast for the new year, the 2024 podcast. Thank you for joining in. Thank you for allowing me to speak life into your spirit. Happy New Year 2024. This is the Metaverse Bible Study Podcast, and we are out. Have a good year. I'll see you next time.
Do you want raspberry tea?